Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
All men to be saved. Okay, ladies, I'm sorry you're out of... No, I'm kidding. That word man means humankind. He wants all mankind, all people groups to be saved. This verse teaches me something, a couple of things. First of all, it tells me that I matter to God. You matter to God. Because it says all, and you and I are included in the all. But it tells me something else. It tells me that everyone else matters to God. And so many times it's so easy for us to come to our nice air-conditioned and heated churches with our sound systems and our great music, and we have a great worship service, and we just think of ourselves, but there are people around the world that have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why we do missions, to help God fulfill His desire that all men, all people would come to salvation, that they would be saved. They would be saved. Say saved with me. Saved. We're going to take a look at that word save in just a moment, because so many times our concept of salvation is so narrow and so limited compared to what it all encompasses. Just to kind of give you a heads up, this morning's message is going to be a little bit heavier, a little bit deeper than what we normally do. But my prayer is that the truths that we share today will make a significant impact and bring you to a new level of fullness and wholeness and liberty in Jesus Christ in your walk with the Holy Spirit today. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified to in due time. Last week we celebrated Easter, the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is the mediator. He gave his life as a ransom for all so that you and I can be saved and fulfill the desire of God. Now, that's why Jesus died. In Mark 15, one of the Jewish religious leaders, he got involved after Jesus died. After Jesus died, this is what we read in verse 46. Joseph bought fine linen, took Jesus down from the cross, wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. He's getting ready to bury Jesus. We're approaching Resurrection Sunday. And Luke tells us in chapter 24, verse 12, about Resurrection Sunday, Peter arose and ran to the tomb, stooping down. He saw the linen clothes that Joseph had wrapped him in. They were lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself what happened. So that's the resurrection of Jesus, okay? You got that? You got the picture there? I want us now to shift to another resurrection, a resurrection of someone named Lazarus, who is one of Jesus' close friends. Lazarus was sick. He died. Jesus brought him back from the dead. But I want us to compare the two resurrections this morning. In John chapter 11, verse 41 to 44, it says, they took away the stone from the place where the dead man Lazarus was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Do you notice a difference between the two resurrections? You notice the difference between them. In Jesus' resurrection, if you're taking notes in the back of your bulletin this morning, Jesus walked out of the tomb unencumbered. He was totally free. There was no bondage. He was completely and absolutely free. His grave clothes are sitting in the tomb. That was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lazarus, on the other hand, he's alive, but he walks out still in bondage of his rags. I remember many years ago, I went to a concert put on by the Christian singer Carmen. Some of you may remember him. But he did concerts, and he loved to write stories, and he told stories, gospel stories, other stories. He communicated the Word of God through his story. And there was one song he wrote called Lazarus Come Forth. And he talked about how Lazarus was down in Abraham's bosom, and they were just sitting there, and Moses was kind of leading a church meeting, okay, down in Abraham's bosom, in the place where the righteous dead were. And they're talking about what God had done, and Lazarus says, "Hey, I hear what you're saying about him, but I knew him in a way that you all never did." And he begins to tell him how I saw him, heal the sick, and he raised the dead, and he did all these great things, these great miracles. He says, and I remember the simple, loving way he just called my name. And then it says, up at the gravestone, rolled away with a loud voice, Jesus started to say, "Lazarus." And Lazarus goes, "Man, it just seems like it was yesterday I could hear it. Lazarus. Man, it just sounds so loud and so real, so definite. Lazarus." He goes, "I think I hear him right now. Lazarus? Jesus? Lazarus? Jesus? Lazarus? Jesus? Lazarus? Jesus? Come forth." And then Carmen did something. Lazarus came forth, but he comes out like this. Why was he like this? Because Lazarus is still bound in the grave clothes. He's wrapped up. There's a cloth covering his face. I mean, he can't talk. He can't move. He's alive. He's resurrected. But he's still in bondage. And friends, I believe, I've seen it with my own eyes, there are many Christians who are living like Lazarus. They're alive. Jesus has saved them. They are forgiven of their sins. They have new life in Christ, but they're not free. They're not whole. They're not able to function properly because there is something that has them in bondage. You see, many times when something painful, something difficult, when bad things happen to us, we wrap it up to preserve our identity, to preserve our peace, to preserve our sanity, our worth. And when that happens, we're not dealing with it, and it puts us in bondage, and we don't even realize it. When we ask Christ into our lives, we become new creations. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. But there are so many times the past hurts, the past difficulties, the past trials keep us wrapped up in rags of death. This morning, I encourage you to leave your rags. Leave your rags, those death clothes, those things of the past, leave them behind. What do the rags look like? They come in many shapes and sizes. Hurts from the past, fear, anxiety, shame, labels from others. Rebecca preached in Youth Wednesday night, and she talked about labels that people put on us. Abuse, addictions, habits, doubts, depression, a sense of dread. It goes on and on. There are many things that are rags that are wrapping us up, keeping us in bondage. Jesus did not die for you and I to remain in the bondage of the past. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, we read it at the beginning of the message. We're going to look at it again. "This is good and acceptable in the sight of the Savior, our God, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." This verse, that word saved in the Greek language, the New Testament was originally written in the Greek. In the Greek language, it's the word sozo, S-O-Z-O, sozo. And sozo means to save, to deliver or protect, to rescue from danger or destruction, to heal, preserve, to keep safe and sound, to do well, to make whole. That's what salvation is all about. Not just so that we're saved and we're alive, but that we are set free from the rags of the past. We're set free, walking in liberty and in victory. And this morning, I believe that God wants to set many of you free. God gave me this message over a year ago. And I've just been waiting and praying and saying, God, when is the time for this? Last Easter Sunday morning, as we were getting ready for church, I felt God say, next Sunday, preach, leave your rags. There's people I want to set free. Next Sunday is the day. Well, friends, next Sunday is this Sunday. It's this moment. God wants you to walk out of here free. Some of you walked into church today all wrapped up. You're not free. You're encumbered. God wants you to walk out in strength, in power, in His might, in victory, in peace, in wholeness this morning. He desires all men to be not just forgiven, but to be made whole, to be made free, to be made well. I don't know if you recognize the songs we sang in worship, but they were all just pointing to this message that God has. It is well with my soul. It is whole. That's one of the meanings of sozo. It's well. I am made well. I am made whole. I'm restored. God wants to restore us today. All of that is wrapped up in salvation. So when you read different scriptures that use the word saved, like Romans 9:10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved, forgiven, delivered, healed, restored, made well, made whole. It says that is a promise from God. If you confess Christ, it's not just you're forgiven, there's a whole lot more that comes with it. In Romans 10:13, whoever calls in the name of the Lord will be saved, healed, delivered, restored, made well, made whole. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. You've been made whole through faith. You've been healed, restored, delivered by faith. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came in the world to save, to heal, to restore, to make whole sinners of whom I'm in chief. Friends, the concept of wholeness is all over the Bible. When you read the word saved in the New Testament, it means saved, healed, delivered, protected, rescued, made whole and well. That is God's will for all mankind. He doesn't want you to walk in bondage this morning. He wants you to be set free today. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, reverse that, when God made Adam and Eve, they were made in the image and likeness of God. They had a relationship with God, but when they sinned, that image of God was fractured. It was marred. It was distorted. They lost the perfection, the wholeness of that image. And ever since that time, all of us have been born into brokenness. All of us have been born into this fallen state. But Jesus came to give us new life, to give us a relationship with God, and to restore the image of God. As Paul said in Romans, he wants us to be conformed to the image of Christ. God wants to make us whole and bring that wholeness to us completely. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul says, may the God of peace sanctify you. That word sanctify means to set apart. It means that you belong to God. He wants you to be set apart completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus wants you to be whole today, not just forgiven spiritually and have a relationship with God, but your soul to be whole. Your emotions, your mind, your will, your inner man, the real you to be whole, for your body to be whole. That is God's will for you and for me. We're told in 2 Corinthians 1:22, God has sealed us and given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. If you have asked Christ in your life, the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And it's a guarantee, and that same Spirit who created the earth can create new things in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can resurrect dead things in your lives so you can leave your rags and be made whole today. But we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. It just doesn't happen on its own. It just doesn't happen on its own. Our soul is our emotions. It's our will, our desires, and it's also our thoughts. It's our mind. And Paul, he talked about to the Ephesian believers in chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, he says you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, it is possible for you to be a Christian but not to be renewed in your mind. And you're walking in the old mindset. You're walking in the past patterns. And so you're in bondage today. You're not in freedom. And it takes a renewal of the mind. Some of us are here and we have damaged emotions. Some of us, we have hurts from past relationships. Some of us, the devil has spoken lies to us, or other people have spoken lies to us, and we have believed those lies. I know a lady who, because of abuse in the past, felt that all men were no good, and because of that, she did not want to look physically attractive to men, so she let her appearance go, and it sabotaged her relationships, it sabotaged her marriage, even when she got married. Because of what happened in her past, she was living in her rags. I know a kid who grew up poor, and he was made fun of because of his hand-me-downs, and his parents drove beater cars, and they lived in really, you know, dumpy stuff. And he vowed, I will never be poor again. I'm going to do everything it takes for me to get out of poverty. And money became God to him. It became most important, so that he neglected God. He neglected marriage. He neglected his children. He neglected everything. It was all about, how can I be rich? How can I make money? He was living in the rags of poverty and shame and condemnation. I've known people, a guy whose father abandoned him, and he struggled with his worth, with his identity. And so he indulged in promiscuity all through high school, because if a lot of girls like me, if I'm with a lot of girls, then I must be something good. And even when he got married, he carried that infidelity into his marriage, trying to prop up the identity that came from the past. Friends, today, no matter what your rags are, God came to set you free. It is his desire that all men are saved, healed, delivered, restored, made whole. That's his will for you. When we're not whole in our inner man, our minds are not renewed, it leads to all kinds of sin and destructive behavior. But Jesus came to save us. Help me, preach it here. Healed, delivered, restored, made whole. I hope you're catching this morning. You say, Craig, you sound like the Department of Redundancy, the Redundancy Department. But isn't that how we learn? How'd you learn the ABCs? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A, H, I, J, K. 1 plus 1 is 2. 2 plus 2 is 4. 3 plus 3 is 9. Oh, wait, no, that's 3 times 3. You know, you did those flashcards, repetition over and over and over. And friends, you need the Word of God repeated over and over and over. You've been saved, healed, delivered, restored, made well, made whole. That's God's will for you. I hope you're catching this morning. Dallas Willard, in his book Renovation of the Heart, said we must desire to be transformed, and we must be intentional. If we are to receive restoration in our soul, it typically will not just happen. We must be intentional about this, renewing our minds, as Paul said. I want to wrap up with a story, an account that we find in Mark chapter 5 of a woman who found wholeness after years of pain and distress. Mark chapter 5, verse 25, it says, a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Let's unpack this verse, what this verse means for a moment. You have a lady that for 12 years had a vaginal flow of blood. And she went to doctors. They're trying to cure her, and they can't. And they're trying, when they run out of conventional means, they go to some out-of-the-box, off-the-wall things. How do we know that? Because it says she suffered many things at their hands. They're just grasping for straws. Try this, try that. And she's suffering physically and emotionally. Not only that, it says she spent all that she had. This plague, this disease, financially ruined her, wiped her out. And to make things worse, her condition is getting worse. And on top of this, because of this flow of blood, you have to realize she was considered ceremonially, religiously unclean. When you were unclean, you couldn't go to the temple to worship. In fact, if you were unclean, anything and anyone you touched became unclean. So it's this woman's responsibility to not contaminate anyone else. So she carries this stigma. She can't be around people for fear of contaminating them. She is ostracized. She is alone. And people know this about her. And she's living in this state of brokenness. And she's hurting so desperately. It goes on to say in verse 27 that when she heard of Jesus. When she heard of Jesus, she's going to come up from behind him and press in. Here's the thing. What she heard determined what she did. And friends, what you hear determines what you do. That's why you need to hear the right things to renew your mind, to make you whole, and to do it on a repetitive basis. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. 1 + 1 = 2. You need to take the truth of God, because when she heard the truth about Jesus, this man, he heals the sick. This man does the impossible. This man walks on water. This man has raised a guy named Lazarus from the dead. When she heard about the power of God, she heard about the love and the compassion of Christ, when she heard about Jesus, the truth about Jesus, it activated faith in her heart. So she says, I'm going to reach out and I'm going to touch him and maybe I'll be healed. It says, she came up behind him in the press of the crowd, touched his garment. She said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Do you want to guess what that word in the Greek language is for whole? Sozo. Saved. Healed. Delivered, restored, made well, whole. If I can just touch him, I'll be made whole. I can leave my rags behind. Verse 29, straightway, immediately, the fountain of blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself virtue had gone out, turned about in the press of the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? The disciple said to him, Lord, there's a multitude thronging you. And you say, who touched me? He looked around about to see who had done this thing, but the woman, fear and trembling, knowing what she'd done. You see, here's the thing. This lady knew that if I touch Jesus, I'm making him unclean. And that's why, if I can just touch the hem of his clothes, get away with it, so he doesn't know I made him unclean, because I'm living in this stigma, I'm living in these rags, I'm living in this bondage, I'm living in this death. But Jesus knew. She was afraid because she made him unclean. But he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and all the plagues with it. And so Jesus, he says to her, she bows down, she falls before him and told him all the truth. What does Jesus say in verse 34? Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole, sozo, healed, delivered, rescued, protected, restored, made whole. And he goes on to say, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Friends, what made her whole? Her faith. Where did her faith come from? What she heard about Jesus, the truth she heard about Jesus, about God. Friends, where does faith come from us? It's what we hear about Christ, what we hear about God. What's the main source of what we hear about Christ? The Bible, the Word of God. That's why you and I need to be people that get into the Word. Paul emphasized this in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we hear God's Word, it makes us whole. It builds faith to make us whole. Joyce Meyer, in her book, The Secret Power of Speaking God's Word, writes how she was a very negative person who always had negative things to say. Due to abuse in her past and growing up in a very negative atmosphere, her outlook on life was, if I don't expect anything good to happen to me, then I won't be disappointed when it doesn't happen. Doesn't that sound like a fun life as a Christian? I'm not going to pray to God and expect Him to do anything, because that way when it doesn't happen, I'm not disappointed. I don't want to get my hopes up and have God dash them to the ground. That's how she lived. So she's a very negative person. And God had been dealing with her about this very destructive problem of negativity. And so she began to really purpose, I'm not going to be negative. I'm not going to think these negative thoughts and say these negative things. And she made a lot of progress being very careful not to speak negatively, but she was seeing very little positive change in her life. And one day she was talking to the Lord, and she says, basically, I was complaining. Because even though I'm making this progress and not being negative, I'm not seeing these positive changes in my life. And God stopped her, and she sensed Him saying, you have stopped saying the negative thing, but you have not started saying positive things. It is good to stop doing wrong things, but the real harvest comes in our lives when we plant seed by doing the right thing. And so in her spirit, she knew what she needed to do. Over the next few days, she compiled a list of scriptures and of changes that she wanted to see take place in her life. And she was going to speak them and confess God's word over them. She made sure that these changes she wanted to see were founded and agreed with Scripture. And as she wrote them down, many times chapter and verse, but she made it personal. I will rejoice in the Lord. And she just begins to write these things down personally. She begins to speak them twice a day. And as she does this day after day, her mind gets renewed. And she writes in her book how as I began to speak God's word out loud so I could hear it, it began to make wonderful changes in me, my family, and my life. Faith moves mountains. We sang about it this morning. Faith comes by hearing, hearing God's word. In your notes, we're wrapping this up today. As we hear the word of God, it renews our mind, it builds our faith, and it makes us whole. It makes us whole. Our theme for 2019 is seek the King, see the kingdom. We want to see the kingdom of God come into people's lives, but here's the thing. If you and I are living in brokenness, if we're living in bondage in our rags, there is no way that we can bring the kingdom, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, liberty in the Holy Ghost, salvation, people being restored, healed, saved, rescued, delivered, and made whole if we're not walking in that ourselves. And so God is speaking to us, His church, saying, leave your rags behind. Let me make you whole. And realize He might do something this morning where, bam, it's gone. But many times it is a process of renewing the mind. We start something and we keep renewing and keep renewing and keep renewing. A farmer doesn't plant a field one time, make a harvest and say, I'm done, I've retired. No, he plants fields year after year after year. And that's what we need to do. We need to keep planting the seed of the Word of God to renew our mind to continue to walk in victory. Sometimes we start, but then we stop. And that old mindset comes back and we get into our bondages and we're wrapped up in those rags of death again. God wants all men. You, Dale Zitterkoff. You, Jan, Lola, every one of you, say your name. God wants me to be saved, to be healed, to be rescued, to be delivered, to be restored, to be made well, to be made whole. That's His desire. What rags do you need to leave behind this morning? What areas of brokenness have you in bondage today?
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.